housewares, health and beauty products, including organic, and has fine wines and more. Chico Grocery Outlet is open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. on the weekends. 2157 Pillsbury Road, right next to Kmart. You can find them on Facebook at groceryoutlet.com. So, as we do, let's start this sports show, shall we?
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed, that is us talking about practice. Jarrell Gilbert alongside Derek Asumaki.
Yo, what's good?
Hey, man. Jonathan Newberry, affectionately known as Noobs. Oh, wait, I don't have you up. Let's try that again. My bad.
Good to be back, guys.
There we go.
Good to have you back.
Yeah.
And our up-and-coming producer in training, John Luca. And John, what's happening?
What up, what up, what up?
So we got a big show. We're going to get to the Rockets shooting 53s in a game this weekend, which was insane. I did want to touch on Magic Johnson and his hostile takeover of the Lakers at some point. JaVale McGee.
That was some straight Game of Thrones stuff.
It was. It was pretty crazy. It was the Red Wedding and whatnot. JaVale McGee versus Shaq beef. That was a beef, and now it's over. Mark Cuban versus Bleacher Report. The Oscars, the roly-poly goalie. We got to get to Noob's bad beat in Reno on the Daytona 500. Bill Paxton, unfortunately.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. He will be missed. Let's we'll get to some sound from him throughout the show. And the World Cup is expanding to a field of 48. And I know my man Derek's got something to say about that.
Finally.
So we'll talk about that a little later on.
We might start fighting right now.
And
Trinidad and Tobago.
College hoops, and at least my lack thereof, college hoops, and how little attention I paid, which will all be changing this week because I need to get my bets right. So I will all of a sudden be super interested in college hoops starting now.
It's beginning.
The calendar turns, man.
Yeah, it is. It's time for me to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But first, I wanted to, we'll get to the Oscars. I know that's a big story of the day. That's the news of the day. I was going to start there, but you guys have probably been inundated with it if you've been paying any attention to radio or television today. Do you know what happened?
I actually have no clue.
Yes, okay.
All right,
you're going to love this.
Gonna be fun,
yes,
today.
This is gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes, this is gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh,
I want to start with the NBA trade deadline. It has came and went, and so obviously the big name that was moved was Boogie Cousins. We spent a lot of time talking about DeMarcus moving last week. I wanted to talk about some of the winners and losers, in my opinion, of the trade deadline. See what you guys think about that. In my opinion, the big winner of the trade deadline has to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, my opinion. And the reason being is not only did Jimmy Butler not move and go to the Celtics, Paul George didn't go to the Celtics, but they were able to add a point guard off the bench in Deron Williams, who's more than a serviceable point guard, even at this stage in his career.
Better backup than Dellavedova, that's for sure.
100%.
Della dummy.
Della.
No one else gets that, but it's okay.
Yeah, I understand he hasn't been here this year, but just like looking back to that championship run that they made, I mean, that's a significant piece.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and they needed...
Why he doesn't seem to have, gotten home. I don't know why they're paying him not to play in two different places, but...
Yet.
You know what I mean?
Is he still getting paid by the Jazz or something?
Well, I know that, the Mavericks bought out his contract, and then I think the Nets still owed him money. I'm not really sure exactly on the financials of that, but I guess Kyle Korver was lobbying pretty hard for him to come over to Cleveland. So.
And Mark Cuban's explanation of this, to sum it up, he was on the True Hoop podcast on ESPN with Amin Elhassan and Brian Windhorst and some others. And to paraphrase, basically what he said was, at this point in the season, making a playoff spot is kind of out of reach. And he thought it was better to think about the future. And so letting guys like Darren Williams go and letting someone like Andrew Bogut go just made sense in the long run, made sense financially to get those guys off the books and ship them elsewhere. And what he was explaining was tanking, but not in the traditional sense. He wants his young guys basically to get a little more playing time and, you know, to kind of lobby and get a better draft position, whether it's 5, whether it's 10. He's, from what he was saying, he's not really overly concerned about it, but he is realistic and realize they're not going to make a championship run. And
yeah, I mean, even if they scratch their way into 8, they're just going to get swept by Golden State. So
right.
You could have a reverse Baron Davis year. What is it?
Oh, yeah, 06.
Oh, so
yeah.
There you go.
When they finished in first and lost to Nelly's guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
After a 67-win season, yeah. I mean, I didn't see that happening either. It makes sense why they shipped them off. But Cleveland, it looks like... So Andrew Bogut went to Philly. It looks like Philly has officially bought him out. And it looks like Andrew Bogut is on his way to Cleveland as well. And so this... I don't know that it changes who the favorite is. I think Golden State is rightfully the favorite for this... For this postseason, but I do think it does change the landscape a little bit. I think Cleveland had a bit of a difficult hill to climb. I don't think it was what they were going to have to climb in the West, if they're a team in the West. But still, I think you solidify your bench like that, and you get a rim protector. And more importantly, what Bogut does better than any center probably is pass. Mm. And he moves that ball around, and Cleveland... like a lot of teams has emulated what the Warriors have done and started putting shooters all around the floor. So you can play that inside out game. And so I just want to know what you guys think about Cleveland moving forward. If you think that this is going to be enough to be better than the Warriors in a 7-game series or what your guys' thoughts were. Noobs, I'll start with you.
I think that's huge, huge depth. I didn't know until just now that Bogut was going to sign with the Cavaliers. So I think that's huge. Obviously, adding Darren Williams, like we just said, is going to be big coming off the bench, give you some good minutes. He can handle the ball, play defense. It's a great team, but to your point, I think that the road that they have to go through in the East is going to be a lot easier. So basically, yeah, it's going to come down to that 7-game matchup because I don't see anybody, even though Toronto added a couple pieces,
yeah.
Ibaka, Tucker, I think that's going to be good for them. But, yeah, the Celtics not moving, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't give up that draft pick because it's potentially the number one coming from the Nets.
Yeah, sure.
Who really just, I don't know what they were thinking when they sold. They basically, you know, mortgaged their future for, what, 1 year KG and Paul Pierce?
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
past awesome. Their prime.
Yeah. Way past their prime. KG, you know, and Kenny the Jet or whatever. But getting back to your question about Cleveland, yeah, I think definitely they're in prime position just because LeBron is just such a floor general and just kind of raises every player that he's around. He makes everybody better. But, I mean, the Warriors look so dangerous. I mean, like, they're, like, just getting better and better, I feel. Wouldn't count San Antonio out, but...
Nope.
You know, first year in the post-Timmy era.
I mean, the team in the West, I'm actually really like what they did in the trade line is Houston. Like,
yeah.
Them getting Lou Williams for absolutely nothing pretty much from the Lakers was awesome because he's pretty much still doing the same role he's doing with the Lakers and what he's done his entire career, just come off the bench and shoot. And what better team to go to than the team that loves to just shoot threes all day long.
Right.
And so, like, they're pushing it for the – I just feel, though, is Warriors, if they have an off night – they're obviously, but if they, that's all they can take. It's if they don't shoot, but everything else, if they're shooting, they're winning.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem with the Warriors, I still feel. And Cleveland, yeah, they got depth, but again, if the Warriors are making their shots, they can stop them.
Yeah, I just don't trust Houston because Mike D'Antoni's teams have traditionally not been able to lock down in the playoffs on defense when it mattered most.
No doubt. And
he might
be
one of the best offensive coaches in the league. You throw up 140 and still go up 132 to the T-Wolves. I'm not trusting that.
No doubt, yeah, but I just feel like, you know,
it's
in the playoffs,
yeah.
Stuff can happen, and not to mention Harden's been having some good experience lately, and he's been looking really good this season.
No, like, I think he's matured
no
as
doubt.
A player.
Plus, they have no drama, you know what I mean? There's no drama with Howard, there's no drama in that franchise anymore. I mean, if you think about it, they're putting up phenomenal offensive stats right now,
yeah,
but they're quiet, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of... There's not a lot of talk about Houston. I mean, there is, but not like how there was last year in the media, how it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, James Harden is just like relatively non-factor in, like, you know, in the
exactly.
the front quiet, of the case of the media. Exactly. Yeah. Which is a good thing. I think they're just focused on Ball right now.
Which
and, like,
is scary, yeah.
D'Antonio and him are really meshing well.
No, I think that's a great point, because a lot of the talk last year within the Rockets organization was kind of the fractured locker room, how James Harden and Dwight Howard just were not getting along. And that's a great transition, because I did want to talk about the Rockets. They did take 53s in a game over the weekend, which is just an insane amount. No one really puts up 53s in a game, and I like that the Rockets are trying to out-Warriors the Warriors and saying, okay, the way to beat you is just jack up threes. All right, challenge accepted, you know? And I do think, yeah, Noobs, I believe you alluded to their struggles with defense. I do believe that's going to be a problem. But again, if they're making their threes, I think that they could take two or three games from a team like the Warriors just by outgunning them and just putting them up, because that's what they've been doing. So that'll be interesting as the postseason unfolds. I did want to talk about D'Antoni for a minute here. It seems that D'Antoni never really gets the respect he deserves for essentially creating what the Warriors are now when he was with the Suns. What the Warriors are doing, the way they're playing, is what the Suns were doing, except they have even better shooting than the Suns had. As far as, let's just get the ball up the floor, 7 seconds and under, get a shot up, and let's get more possessions and just basically wear down our opponents. And D'Antoni never really gets credit for being kind of the architect behind that. And it's kind of interesting, because when he came to the Rockets this offseason, or during the preseason this year, he said that James Harden would lead the league in assists. And James Harden himself scoffed at that idea and was like, yeah, okay, buddy, like, that's not my game. And James Harden is currently leading the league in assists, I think by an entire assist. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe by an entire assist right now. And so I just think I like what the Rockets are doing. I like Daryl Morey, what he's doing as a general manager. He's a very analytics-based general manager. And I really do think that the Rockets could be a factor this postseason, and can. I don't necessarily think they're going to come out of the West, but I think they could give a team like San Antonio, one of those top two teams in the West, a hard time. I don't know if you guys agree with that. Noobs, what do you think about that?
I don't like that matchup, because I think Popovich is a better all-around coach. I mean, like,
yeah.
D'Antoni does deserve a lot of credit. I mean, those Phoenix Suns were really good, and they, you know, they came away from Robert Horry hip check of Steve Nash away from maybe winning that series and then going on to win the championship.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's, who knows? It's, but I don't know. I think Popovich is just too good of a coach. I like San Antonio's size. You know what I mean? Just their all around depth. Right now, currently, San Antonio would have the home court in that 2-3 matchup.
Yep.
If it did get down to that. I just trust San Antonio. I just do.
Sure.
You know, and I think it would be a great series. But like I said, I mean, I think Houston's given up like 105 a game or something.
You know,
they're scoring 110, but they're giving up 105. And I just think that when it comes to the grind of a 7-game playoff series, I just, if I don't trust you on defense, then I don't trust you to win a championship.
I just don't see the Spurs being able to keep up with them on offense if it does get to a point, which they can easily do, is get to a run-and-gun type of thing. And I think they're better at that than the Spurs are. If the Spurs can get to that defensive and lock them down and keep it a half-court
game.
It's
all about pace.
Exactly, most definitely. And I think, like I said, with the way James Harden's been playing, the fact that he has been leading the league in assists, which he is 11.3 versus 10.7 over John Wall, which are those numbers.
He's really rounded out his game nicely. It's good to see, because I think that was kind of the question mark on him, was like, he's just driving and throwing stuff up, trying to get to the line, doesn't really care about his teammates, doesn't play defense,
right.
You know, but this is definitely, a career year for him, and it's good to see.
Yeah,
you know?
It seems like he's revitalized playing under D'Antoni.
Right.
I mean, granted, he's done better this year in terms of defense, but they play the same game. I don't really like the defensive side that much, you know? So that's kind of like the common ground right there.
And I think I'm not saying he's turned into a lockdown defender, not by any stretch. But I mean,
he's better than he was last year.
He's playing better, better than I think any year of his career.
And not to mention, I think that's one of the reasons why D'Antoni hasn't completely gotten that respect, is because his pretty much many times complete ignorance of the other side of the court sometimes, you know, like there are times when he was with coaching with the Lakers, like they were saying that he'd spend like maybe an hour a day on defense or something like that, you know, like barely any time. So I think that's one of the reasons why he hasn't quite gotten to that status is, his offense is great, but that makes you an offensive coordinator pretty much, not like a full head coach.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. I think the postseason is going to be more interesting than everyone thought. I definitely don't think Cleveland and Golden State are just going to walk into the finals. I think Cleveland's going to be tested more than they were last year. I think the Rockets, as you alluded to earlier, Noobs, they definitely upgraded getting Ibaka in there and a couple other moves that they made. I think they're going to be more formidable come down the stretch.
The Raptors?
The Raptors. Did I say the Rockets again?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, sorry. The Raptors, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be crazy if the Rockets also got Ibaka. Then I'd be a lot more worried if I was Golden State. The one thing that you saw Golden State really, really struggle with in the finals was simply being able to put the ball on the floor and get to the rack and stop the game, slow the game down, get to the line. That's not, that's never been a strength of their team as far as this the team is currently constructed. That's never been a strength of theirs. You had Kevin Durant. You're going to be hard-pressed to find many other people in the league better at getting to the line, getting to the rim. And so I think he's going to be a great counterpunch when the game really slows down. And look, man, we're all still waiting for his greatest stuff has been. We're all still waiting for him to have a breakout series in the postseason. He has not had one yet. He had the 17-point overtime last year, which was his first game back from injury, which was crazy. But he hasn't had a huge series where he's dominated from beginning to end. And hell, with Kevin Durant on his team now, maybe he doesn't have to. But it's intriguing, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens there. I did want to just briefly touch on Magic Johnson, his absolutely gangster hostile takeover. We talked about it briefly last week, so I don't want to get too much into it. Magic Johnson, you're from LA, so tell me if I'm wrong, but Magic Johnson, as far as sports figures, is probably the most beloved sports figure in all of LA.
I mean, behind Vin Scully. Like,
Fair enough.
Like, that's, I would say he's right there. Yeah. I mean, Vin has a certain plateau that is unattainable by anyone else. Just his sheer years, but Magic's, he's bar none the second guy. Like, everyone in L.A. is probably going to know who he is.
Yeah, and L.A. is an interesting city as it's pretty divided, as most cities, major cities in America are. But the one kind of rallying point for most Los Angelinos.
Yeah, the Lakers are number one in L.A.
100%, right?
100%, no doubt. Yeah, that brings more so than the Dodgers. Like, yeah. Vince Clay might be that one, but the Lakers have brought them more so, especially in the years, the later years right now. Like, I mean, from the 80s on, pretty much, it was like the Lakers are the spot to be for L.A.'s team.
So Magic Johnson, obviously very beloved in L.A.
Yeah.
And I just thought what he did by coming in and clearing out house, and it sounds like a lot of it was related to a potential DeMarcus Cousins trade that no one felt the need to even give Magic a call and let him know that this was on the table.
Yeah. I feel like if he had happened beforehand, that trade would have happened for the Lakers.
Yep.
And, which unfortunately sucks for me. But I'm still topsy-turvy on what I'm feeling about Magic. I don't know if I feel like he's the right guy for it. I like he got rid of Jim, finally.
Yeah, he needed to go.
Genie got rid of him.
Well, yeah, his sister.
Genie was like, yeah, the coup de grace.
So what exactly happened? They ran into each other, and then Magic just basically like asked her how she was doing, and the next thing you know, he's the GM?
So I was kind of making fun of this last week. So they went out to dinner. Right after her, and I guess he reached out after...
Yeah, to see how she was doing after Phil's breakup or whatever.
And then
they
went out to dinner, and next thing...
So is he getting in there now, too, or what?
That's a great question.
I mean, they looked pretty cozy when I saw them sit next to each other.
Yeah, I think it went a little something like this. Like, Jeannie, I know you've been under a lot of stress. Right. Your brother hasn't been doing his job. Why don't you just kick back and relax for a little bit? Let me come in. You know, you need to take this franchise in a different direction. You know what? I'm up to the challenge, so why don't you kick back? And I got it, because definitely there's a coup going on.
Oh, yeah, it's full in effect right now. It's fun times.
Yeah, so Mitch Kupchak, longtime Lakers employee. He was there, what, 26 years, 30 years?
Yeah,
I think he started in 86 or something. Yeah. So
he was on there, yeah.
He's up out of there.
Boom.
Jim Buss is up out of there, which is interesting. I wonder what his role is going to be, because that is the family business.
He still owns it. Like, he's still the owner of it, which is great. Like, that's just the funny part. Like, he still in some way is technically Magic's boss and somehow, but he's got to be the minority owner and somehow.
It'll be an awkward Christmas party.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, part of the rap that I was hearing with Jim Buss is he did a lot of things Jerry Buss would do. For instance, Jerry Buss would show up to practices anywhere between 1 and 3 and just kind of pop in. But he earned the right to drop in whenever the hell he wanted to because he'd owned the team for so long. And a lot of what I was hearing was Jim Buss was kind of trying to act in the same exact nature as dad. But the problem, whenever a kid takes over the company, the kid's got to kind of earn their stripes, you know? And it seems like Jim Buss was just like, oh, this is how my dad did it. I'm going to do it just like him without earning his stripes first. And it just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
I mean, just because your dad owned the team doesn't mean that you know basketball. And I think that was his problem. He just thought he was terrible at analyzing talent. Like, his whole thing for the longest time was Andrew Bynum. He would not let that guy go. And I mean,
and developing relationships too. I mean, like Jerry Buss, from what I heard, was like a second father to Magic.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I mean, they were close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he signed him to some like 25-year contract or something.
Right.
You know what
he
I mean?
He got a like, mill a year for 25 years, I believe it was.
So, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of the Lakers and, you know, what Jim Buss, right, is Jerry's kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. But it's one of those things where I think, like, you know, they missed the playoffs for 4 years, which was the first time in franchise history.
Yeah.
You know, so this is definitely a fan base that's clamoring to get back to the top.
I mean, it's one that doesn't take not being championship contention well at all. Yeah. We have to be. Like, if you want the Lakers to be if you want to be part of the Laker organization, you have to be a winner.
I just think, though, in today's day and age, like some of the comments that she made about basically like that it was almost like their birthright as Lakers to be on top. You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous. I like, no.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
I mean, like, I like the mindset guarantees. That we should be up there, but totally. Don't say it's not your birthright. Like, any team can be up there. There's something that you're like, you're born with it. Like, yeah, I get what you're talking about in there, but that's a kind of ridiculous statement. Yeah, the Lakers, we've been up there for quite some time, but that doesn't make you like stay up there forever. Like, you still have to keep earning that spot, you know?
Well, it's interesting because I think the Lakers are in a position where they're having to do a little bit of image reshaping or remodeling right now because they're relying so heavily on what their legacy has been and on the past, and which is great, but to a 20 to 25-year-old kid, they don't really care about that, you know? I mean, maybe you get some guys who are Kobe fans growing up, but more often than not, a lot of these younger guys are LeBron fans or Curry fans or whatever.
Yeah.
So the whole mystique of what the Lakers are, that, you know, guys who are a little bit older, like, we realize what the Lakers were and how big of a deal they traditionally have been. I mean, most of my life, they have been in the finals or, you know, at least in contention, and driving me crazy as a Warriors fan because most of my life we've been garbage. So I guess we understand that a little bit more. What I think the thing that Magic does more than anything is he does just have this incredibly charming personality, great smile, and I think kids still, even if you don't understand how great Magic is, he's been out there in the public eye enough that he can still really make an impression.
I mean, he owns half of L.A.
Right.
He legitimately does. Like, in everything that's, like, south of downtown, he, like, owns it. That's him.
And L.A. is still, you know, the number one or two market in the league.
Yeah.
For young guys to want to go play in. You know, if you're a Laker, I mean, Sasa Vujacic, didn't he get engaged to, not Kournikova, Maria Sharapova? And he was kind of a scrub, but he was a Laker. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Even the 12th man on the Lakers still has model girlfriends. You feel me? Like, being in L.A. is a good situation for young people to be in. And so I do think Magic, using that charm, I think he's going to be able to attract younger free agents. And again, you mentioned it. He owns half of L.A. He's got his hands in a little bit of everything,
yeah.
Whether it's his movie theater or commercial
TGI
real estate
Fridays.
Or TGI Fridays. He's got his hands in so many different ventures that...
Yeah, he owns a couple. He owns like a ton of things, man. I think he owns a BJ's down there too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, so I think it's going to be interesting, but if nothing else, at least it gives us a talking point on the Lakers, which is good for all of us because the Lakers are one of those polarizing teams that when they're in the headlines, people will tune in and listen. So that's good for us. They have Magic. Anything else on this Magic hiring before we move on from any of you? Okay.
I thought it was a little unfair that Lebatard, who I like most of the time, kind of was saying he was unqualified because his talk show failed.
Yeah.
I mean, Really?
So,
and then somebody else labeled that that was like, somebody said, I don't know if it was Keyshawn, somebody said
yeah,
that
it's, Keyshawn Johnson.
There was overtones of racism. I wouldn't say that necessarily.
No. He's going after the guy because he doesn't think he's qualified for the job. Right. Which I honestly, I'm kind of in some part feel that way too about him.
I mean, honestly, he hasn't had any like basketball position prior to this. Yeah. He's, other than whatever glorified
head
thing
coaching.
He had.
He's had tried.
Oh, that's
head
right. And the, like 11 games or something.
Won,
yeah. And
he's, was it 11? It was 11 talk shows, 16 games.
The guy's got a rap sheet.
No, I actually, I'm a huge fan of the Dan Le Batard show. I listened to the entire show. The point he was trying to make was, yeah, he, on based on merit, he probably not qualified. And to be fair to Dan, he's usually a champion for black people and always bringing up these racial issues and usually siding with black folks. So I didn't see it as, you know, kind of race baiting or anything like that. And I'm not one to ever say who is or who isn't racist because I really don't care. I think all of us can be racist at one point or another. But what I found was interesting was he has brought up the same point when John Elway got hired, when Dan Marino was hired, when Phil Jackson got hired.
John Lynch as well.
John Lynch, exactly, yeah. To be a more current reference. So I thought that it got blown kind of out of proportion. But again, this
I
is...
I mean, that's just society right now. Everyone just wants to call everyone a race. It's just like, it's just throwing like just rocks at people right now. Well, and it's ridiculous.
And on the macro level, this has got to be a little bit frustrating for white people in particular, because this often happens when we discuss the merit of someone who is African-American. It so quickly often goes to, well, is this person using racial undertones? And unfortunately, oftentimes that's a great conversation to have, and it's a valid one to have. But when it's not and it gets thrown out there, it kind of devalues that conversation on a grander level. So we can't have that conversation in other places where it may be necessary if we have it in a time like this, where I really don't think Le Batard was trying to say anything negative or at least racially divisive about Magic Johnson, but here we are.
So you mean like when these charges are levied, just kind of willy-nilly, it kind of becomes like a boy who cried wolf sort of thing?
I don't want to get to the point where it's I don't think I'm saying it that strongly, but I do think that it does take away a little bit of the value or the conversation when, so for instance, Trayvon Martin, the anniversary of him being killed happened over the weekend, right?
Okay.
And so much of that talk was, is George Zimmerman a racist, and kind of those types of things. Did he have a right to shoot Trayvon Martin? He was eventually acquitted. Where I think the interesting thing is, and when you really want to take a look at race relations, the interesting thing is that George Zimmerman had hundreds of thousands of dollars donated to him for no other reason than he shot a black kid. You know, and that's where the conversation I thought should happen. But so much of that, and that was a serious racial issue.
I mean, to be able to say that he got it just for shooting a black kid is a big statement. I think it's more of the fact that it was the hate that he got from the black community from pop culture in general, to be able to say that. Because, I mean, that's a big statement, because that makes it seem like people out there are just championing for black people to be killed.
No, but...
I kind of mean that, though.
No, that's the thing is... Okay, well, like, I can make a parallel with our president. I mean,
that's a big statement
now
that you have no proof of.
Right, but, like, let's say, for instance, like, no matter all the dumb things that our current president has said, like, when people from the KKK endorse him, that doesn't mean that he ever went out and tried to get their endorsement.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? So, like, saying, like, because a bunch of people donated money to George Zimmerman doesn't necessarily make Zimmerman a racist.
Exactly.
The people who gave him money...
Why does that make them a racist for giving him money?
If they specifically did it because they were happy...
Well, how do you know they did that, though?
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. So to say that statement is just a bit
broad. But there may have been people
maybe
that sent him a note, too, like, hey, good job, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. I don't know. I don't even know if
I mean, it's a broad assumption, because then you're just labeling people who gave him money. That's a big statement, I feel, and
right.
I think it's unfair.
Well, there is proof of that. If you go online, if you Google it, there is letters sent with some of them that were basically patting him on the back
right.
for doing so. And this that's not an isolated incident. I don't want to make this a whole race topic for hours here, but that's happened a lot of times. Where a police officer shot a black kid and got thousands of dollars donated to them as well to fight the trial or whatever. I don't want to go down that road. What I'm basically, I should have used a different example. The point I'm trying to make is oftentimes we cry race when it's not an issue. So when it is a potential issue it's harder because we've used it so many times. So yeah, the boy cries wolf argument, it's harder to then bring any validity and make any progress with those conversations, because so often we get hung up on dumb topics like, is Dan Le Batard racist against Magic Johnson? You know?
Right. I mean, I think it's really just honestly topic views a lot of people use just to halt conversation, I feel. Like, just to throw that out there. Because, like you said, it is just, you know, we have to, if it is something you're making, that's a big statement. I think people are just, it's so easily triggered by people. And well,
yeah, I think it must have been a knee-jerk reaction by Keyshawn. He probably doesn't even know Dan Le Batard, because, to your point, I think if he did, he wouldn't have levied that.
Right.
I mean, let's just face it, too. If let's say what Le Batard did say was racist, let me just ask right now, what physical harm happened to Magic Johnson by him saying that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So when we make these broad, like, oh, man, those are dangerous statements, like, they don't do any physical harm to you whatsoever. It might emotionally hurt you, but I don't. Unfortunately, right now, you can't really care about people's emotional well-being. That's your problem, unfortunately. Like, I might say stuff that might incite stuff in you, but again, that's your problem. And for you to be able to incite it by, that means that the words I'm saying are powerful to you.
Right.
Don't give those words power. Ignore them. But if Keyshawn Johnson ignored that, none of this would have come out.
Right.
And for him to do that is really just giving more fuel to the fire of people who claim racism's all out there.
Well, that's the thing, too, because it was a Hispanic man talking about a black man. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, if it was, you know what I mean? I didn't see anything in any of those comments that any racial overtones whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it's like, because one person is of a different race, then it's like all of a sudden we're going to just have this reaction. I mean, I remember when one of the recent ones in North Carolina, one of the police shootings, it was actually a black officer.
Yeah.
And people were like rioting at first about the racism in the police department, which there is some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like people think we're just like rushing to judgment and didn't even realize that it was a black officer who had shot him. You know what I mean? So I think that we're living in a very tense, and I don't know if it's all because of Trump or what. And a lot of it has to do with the police shootings and then, you know, the retaliation. And, you know, Black Lives Matter, not that they were responsible for the incidents in Baton Rouge or Dallas. It was probably just a lone incident. But there's a lot of racial tension these days. You know, probably as worse as it's been since the 60s.
Yeah, the worst it's been in my lifetime.
Right.
It's, like, palpable for
sure.
Like,
I remember, like, the O.J., like, and the O.J. situation and the Rodney King in the early 90s. That was pretty big.
I mean, it's like we're having the Watts riot, like, every other month, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what's happened.
I'd love to see some healing go on. That's
agreed.
For sure.
Agreed. Let's move off of this. This is FF90.1 KZFR, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Derek, you got a read for us, brother?
I do, yes. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico News and Review, presenting the 2017 Chico Area Music Festival beginning on April 6th. The Cammies feature hundreds of musicians over 3 weekends on stages throughout Chico, concluding with the Cammies finale and award show at Patrick Ranch from 2 to 7 on April 23rd. A complete list of events and information on how to vote for Chico's Best Act, see the April issues of Chico News and Review and on the Chico Cammies Facebook page. That is our thank you to our sponsors right there. And we got some more news, the headline news right now, guys. We have Antonio Brown got himself a nice payday with the Steelers, extended 4 years, $68 million, making him the highest paid wide receiver in the game. Deservedly so, probably. I wouldn't argue with that. Tim Tebow reports to the Mets training camp. I would love to see, I would love to see Tim Tebow in the MLB. Like, what can't that guy do except throw football? Gonzaga drops to number 4 in the nation in the AP poll after a terrible loss to BYU. Those Mormons are real fighters out there. Kansas takes the number 1, UCLA up to 3 after an impressive victory over Arizona. Now, the University of Washington, Kelsey's Plum becomes college women's basketball all-time leading scorer, which is awesome. She put up 57 points against Utah this past weekend.
Wow.
To pass Jackie Stiles. Good on you, Kelsey. In local sports news, we got the PV girls soccer team are the Northern Section Division I champs after beating Chico High 2-0.
Hey, congrats.
Right on. Goals by Maddie Alloway and Madeline Kim gave the Vikings a W, so congrats to PV. And also in soccer news local, the PV boys soccer team beat Chico High again to claim their 4th straight division crown. Now get this, the Vikings finished the season unbeaten and are currently on an 86-0 unbeaten streak since 2013.
Wow.
Good for the PV girls, because I think they're playing for their coach who passed away in a car accident. Yeah. So it's good to see them get it done. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was a great win by both PV school, both PV teams right there.
And they won the state football championship this year.
Yeah, he's PV's killing it. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Man, like my school never had anything like that. We were never that good.
Huh.
Yeah,
man, Vikings killing it, man. Good for them.
And the Oscars were last night. It was a special time where winners lost and the living were proclaimed dead.
Yeah, that all happened.
Yeah. In the movie, specific movie news, La La Land won the hearts of the nation after losing the Best Picture category. And the people in Hollywood do not like Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate. So
that was the news, guys.
Thank you. That was excellent. Let's get to that, because, Noobs, you were saying you had no idea what happened last night, right?
No, I didn't watch the Oscars.
So I walked in to do my show. Jake was working back here in the music library and told me he was watching the Oscars. And he's like, did you see what happened? I was like, no, I didn't watch any of it. And so the quick rundown, I'll play the sound here in a second, is presenters
were given the wrong envelope,
right? And so they said La La Land won for best movie and or picture of the year, and it actually ended up being Moonlight.
Wow.
Yeah, like they gave her, apparently what had happened is they gave the presenters, I can't remember, it was Faye Dunaway and some
Warren
other guy
Beatty.
Warren Beatty, and they gave them the
ultimate ladies man.
Yeah, they gave him like the alternate envelope for this best actress category, which was won by Emma Stone. Yeah,
Stone.
From La La Land. So he, like, it's kind of weird when you see the actual, I was watching it happen. I didn't have any sound on it. I just was just, because I was at work and I just saw a commotion happening. And I was asking my sister what was happening, who was watching it. And yeah, it sounded
like
it was.
Let's get to that sound.
The Academy Award for Best Picture.
Come on. La La Land.
We lost, by the way, but, you know.
Guys, I'm sorry. No, there's a mistake.
Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won it. Come on, this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
This is very unfortunate what happened. Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this.
That was unnecessary. That was an unnecessary shot at the end of Jimmy Kimmel.
Punch the ribs there.
Oh, man. Why do you have to bring Steve Harvey in it?
It's the first thing I thought of, though.
There was there's so many things at play here that I find fascinating. One, speaking of the racial climate in America, can you imagine if it went the other way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Moonlight, which was, you know, a black movie that takes place in Liberty City in Miami, and it's all black cast, black director and everything. Can you imagine if it went the other way? My God, what a mess that would have been. I found
the Kodak Theater would have been up in flames, I feel.
That would have been absolutely insane. Just insane. Warren Beatty just passing the buck like that.
He was, from what it sounds like, if you watch the tape, he's baffled by it because he sees a woman's name and the movie title. So he like shows it to her, like, what do I do? Like, this isn't right.
And
but
she just reads it.
She just sees the movie title and reads that. Because like, she's, you even say her, like, come on, Warren, like, you're being ridiculous. Like, how could you ruin this?
Wow.
So he's trying not to do it because he sees, like, oh, this is not right.
Wow.
But she's like, oh, La La Land, and boom, catastrophe. It was, great. Great drama.
Yeah, and if you listen to that sound, it's one of the producers of La La Land who ends up correcting the mistake and saying it's actually Moonlight. There's been a mistake.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, knowing myself, if I get an award and they mess it up, you're going to have to come take this award from me, bro, because I'm not just handing it off. That's not my problem. That's not my responsibility.
I don't know. I couldn't take it. Knowing that the envelope that actually you had it didn't contain your movie title on it, I would be like, oh, I didn't actually win it. You didn't vote for mine? Oh, okay.
Well, would you be the one to be like, oh, hey, guys, actually, there's been a mistake? Nah.
I mean, if someone told
you
me,
guys, you if, guys if, I
just, if they just left it as is and I left ignorance of it, then fine, I'm keeping it. But if it happened in the moment and they say, oh, here's the actual envelope, you actually didn't win, I'd be like, oh.
Rest assured, people are out of a job today.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
For
some
sure.
heads
For
are going to
sure.
roll. So, okay, did that sound like, because obviously I didn't see it. How long did it take for them to rectify the mistake?
They went through their speeches and everything.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
They all went through their speeches, thank yous, and whatnot.
I cut that up because obviously it was like a.
I think three guys. Yeah, three of them went up there and spoke.
So then, and then just one of the producers of the show came out. And was
like you saw a guy with the headphones on and everything out on the stage.
Yeah.
It was wow.
That's hilarious.
It was. I didn't see it in real time, but the moment Jake told me, I got in here, got set up for my show, and then had to find it online. It was a fiasco, one that will not soon be forgotten. I thought this was much more egregious than the Steve Harvey one, because with the Steve Harvey one, they barely got the crown on the girl before he came back out and said, oh, there's been a mistake. And what I liked is Steve Harvey completely owned it and was just like, there's no one else to blame right now. This is my bad, whatever. There's been a mistake. Sorry, it's Miss Philippines.
See, that's why I feel like I think Steve Harvey is more of a stage thing. Well, this one was just actually like an... I mean, it might seem like it's an actual accident. Like, I feel like there's like, hey... Because no one... Who was watching the Miss Universe contest?
Right.
You know? But who was talking about the Miss Universe contest afterwards?
Exactly.
Everyone, you know?
Oh, who like probably watched it the next year.
Yeah, like they're like, yo, just say the wrong name.
New conspiracy. Boom.
You know? And like, oh, hey, the Miss Universe contest is now popular again.
I like where you're going with this.
You know?
Yeah, but there's already like 50 million people to watch the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So they're not trying to get more ratings.
Why do they try to need something to talk about? Everyone's going to be talking about them no matter what. Like, if Moonlight won, like, what a great night for Moonlight. That would have been the topic of conversation. But now it's like, oh, they blundered. Oh, Moonlight still won. But what a blunder, you know?
Yeah.
So even they can't even get it still.
And you know what's hilarious about that is that's what everyone's talking about today. And the Oscars killed someone last night. You know how they do their yes. in memoriam thing every year? They put someone up there, a producer who's...
They put the name of the person that actually passed away, but they put the picture of a different woman.
Oh my God. Right. Yeah. So the producer is still very much alive.
Yeah. So they did that to John Lovitz for the SNL 40, but it was a joke.
Yeah, right. I remember that. I thought that was hilarious.
Very funny.
I don't think the Oscars has a good enough sense of humor about themselves.
No, they do that.
You know, for me, I'm not a big fan of award shows. I think the last one I watched front to back was probably the ESPYs.
It's a lot of self-congratulations.
Exactly. Maybe the MTV Music Awards. When I was 13 or something, but it's been, I don't know.
That was back when they had videos on MTV.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been quite a while, but definitely moments like this are just classic, and this is going to live in infamy forever. So I don't know. I definitely wanted to touch on it again. I know that it's been discussed all day long, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
What a blunder.
Not that it really matters, but I'm sure La La Land won a bunch of other awards.
They won six other Oscars.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not like...
Yeah, that wasn't the one chance they had at winning something big. Right. They won six others, so they'll be all right. They're all millionaires. They're all doing okay, so I don't feel bad for anyone.
They really think they're like the best people on the planet, which kind of like annoys me sometimes.
Which is hilarious.
Oh, no, it's...
They're like, our craft is the most pure form of expression.
Right. It's like, no, dude, you're getting up there and playing pretend.
Right.
You get a lot of money to do that.
Like, some of you guys are better at it than others, but it's not like you're not saving the world.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and the real heroes are the writers. Let's be real about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Let's face it, the people behind the camera, like, those are the people.
The videographers?
The key grip, the best boy.
Yeah, the best boy, for sure.
It all falls apart if he doesn't come along.
This is where you got to intervene, producer.
Sports, guys.
Sports, guys.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk about more sports.
All right. Where do you guys want to go from here? Here's what I have left on the rundown. If you guys have something better, let's go to that. JaVale McGee versus Shaq Beef, which is whatever. The roly-poly goalie, noobs story, his bad beat in Reno. Let's do that.
Yeah,
can we do
that
real
right
quick?
Now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know there's probably a ton of NASCAR fans listening. I was...
That's like a NASCAR.
I think most of the NASCAR fans bounced when they heard our intro.
Yeah, exactly. They turned it over to KPAY. Yeah, they're like, is Rush Limbaugh on yet? Anyway, no offense. Don't get me as I'm kind of out of the building today, guys. Actually enjoyed it. Not watching it, but following on my phone yesterday. I'd gone to our neighboring state, Nevada, to do a little gaming and cash some Super Bowl tickets. And as I'm sitting in the sports book, I'm watching SportsCenter early Saturday morning. And they asked their analyst, Ricky Craven, they said, give us your dark horse for the race tomorrow. and he picks some guy named, you know, Ryan Blaney, whom I've never heard of. We were talking about before the show how we could, neither one of us could, or none of us, I don't think, collectively can
name. You probably can name 10 or more.
Honestly. Yeah, maybe between the four of us.
We could get 10 out there, maybe.
But anyway.
We should do a game like that next week.
Yes.
Yeah. NASCAR driver.
Alive or dead. Yeah. See if we can come up with but anyway, I took a long shot on this kid, 23-year-old from North Carolina, and he had the race of his life yesterday. 40 drivers started, I think only 23 finished, but it was down to the end. A late pass by Kurt Busch won the Super Bowl racing, but my boy finished 0.2 seconds behind. Cost me a chance at $2,500. But it was pretty brutal as I was following it on my phone because I was at one of the only bars in Chico without a television. So that was my Sunday morning. But good times. It's all about the long shots for me, though. That's where the juice is at.
Yeah, you were so close, man.
I was so close, dude.
$2,500 is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Somewhere Vin Diesel's like an inch or a mile.
It doesn't
really matter. Inch or a mile.
Just out of curiosity, has anyone ever seen a NASCAR event start to finish or been to one at all?
I've been to one.
I hear they're fun.
Loudon, New Hampshire. My dad took me as a kid. I honestly didn't really appreciate it because it was like, I couldn't see what was happening on the far side of the track. And then when they came around to the close side or to my near side, all I heard was a lot of loud noises and flashes.
Okay.
It was just like, rum, 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 and like, you know what I mean? It's just, they're driving left and very, very fast.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Good for them. It's amazing what they can do at 200 miles an hour.
No doubt.
In like, that close of traffic.
To be able to, like, we're not trying to take away anything away from it. It's just not, I can't really find it visually appealing to me. I don't really get into it. I've said before the show, I'm a huge Formula One fan, so I do like car racing in general. It's just, I prefer, like, I don't know, twist, like, go right, you know?
Just
every
once
in a while.
Just one time.
Yeah, just every once in a while. Yeah. You know, just spice it up.
Right.
Fair enough. All right.
When they turn right, though, bad things generally happen.
Yeah,
especially to the crowd too. Like
that can create some issues. Yeah.
But
for sure.
I guess it's, you know, their ratings have just been plummeting for about a decade now. You know, and
are they still like technically the most like live sporting event, biggest live sporting event out there?
Well, I mean, they pack like 100,000 people into that place, but they do. I mean, it's probably no more than like a Big Ten football game,
right?
Honestly, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that watch it, but I guess like it's really been plummeting. I mean, it really kind of hit like a high there when you had Jeff Gordon because he was kind of like not your typical Southern, you know, I hate to say this, but you know what I mean? You have some like international guys now, you know, there's some Brazilians in there. So it's got a little bit, it's not just a Southern thing anymore. But their ratings, I guess, have just been plummeting and they're trying all these like gimmicky things now.
Yeah, they had Gronk on the telecast this week.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
But not only that, but within the race, they're actually giving you points. Like yesterday, you got points after, because it's a 200 lap race, right? A 2.5 mile track, 500 miles. But they were actually giving points for like leading after 150.
See, I don't get their point system at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, but that's the thing is, and it's not just you. The actual fans that have been following it for 20 years don't understand it. So it's really, and then they're trying to make this playoff format out of it.
That's the whiskey's fault.
And it's just,
a couple cores, you know.
It's kind of, they've been told many times, but they're just in the crowd.
Simplified enough.
They get.
I would love to get behind the wheel of one of those things. If I'm ever rich enough to, you know,
rent
some time on a track, I think that would be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Being part of it is so much more different than watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fastest I've ever gotten in my car is like 115. So I'd love to be able to push 200. That'd be sick.
That would be awesome. Anything else on the Daytona 500?
No one else watched it.
That'll be good for the year.
Yeah.
Probably good for the decade, actually.
So return in 10 years, guys, and we'll get back to that NASCAR coverage right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Did you guys hear the story about Mark Cuban versus Bleacher Report?
I
just want to touch on it briefly. Basically, Bleacher Report tweeted something out about Dirk Nowitzki, essentially claiming that he's not clutch, and it was very tongue-in-cheek. And they're, you know, kind of giving him a hard time because he missed a game-winning buzzer-beater shot. Is that right?
Yeah, airballed it.
He airballed it. That's right. And so they said, like, Dirk forever or something. It was a really benign comment. Yeah. That's not what I found interesting. Mark Cuban then made a huge deal out of this. Went after Bleacher Report, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, involved and basically held a meeting, and Bleacher Report ended up deleting their tweet the reason I find that interesting is because we are in this very weird place in sports today and in journalism in general, where oftentimes the journalism entity, whether it's Bleacher Report, who is owned by Turner Broadcasting, who also owns TNT, who is also partners with the NBA, or ESPN, for example, they are a journalism entity, but they're also partners with the NFL and NBA. It's a bit of, no, it's not a bit, it's 100% a conflict of interest, and I find it because I can see all sides on this. I could see, and I would love to have, for the record, I would love to have a boss like Mark Cuban who had my back like that, where even when a benign comment was said about me, he's going to war for me and, you know, trying to take down tweets and make a big deal out of something that really, again, wasn't a big deal. So I see where Cuban's coming from, and I also see why Bleacher Report folded. They have to kind of bow the presence or the power of the league that they cover. And Mark Cuban has also revoked several ESPN reporters' media passes for the year because he didn't like the way his team was getting covered. And it just makes the whole, journalism integrity very, very murky in what is already a very murky situation with fake news and everything else like that. So I just found the whole saga to be interesting, and I think this is going to happen more and more often. I think more and more owners are going to get to the point where they're saying, I don't like the way my team's being covered.
This is ridiculous, because Mark Cuban will be the first to talk about how Donald Trump shouldn't be censoring the media or trying to say, oh, this is fake news or this, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you're going to turn around and try and censor some, like you said, I mean, this is news. Everybody has a right to their opinion. You know what I mean? Last I checked, we're still living in the United States of America.
I mean, if
you want to say Dirk Nowitzki's not clutch, go for it. If Cuban thinks that Russell Westbrook's not clutch or he's not an all-star or a superstar, you can say that, even though you're an idiot if you think that.
I mean, all you honestly had to do, I feel
but
like...
But there's too much censorship now. It's like we're getting too, like you said earlier, too damn sensitive. Like, you grow some thick skin. Who cares if you said that? We're going to, like, delete the record now?
Does
you
know what I mean?
And
no
wipe
longer,
it all clean?
Is he no longer an NBA champion? Is he no longer an all-star? Is he no longer for sure Hall of Famer after
that?
No.
He's a stud. Yeah. I mean, give me a break.
I mean, Cuban was definitely... There was something, I think, going after it that aggressively, I thought was too much. I get going up for your guy. But send a tweet on saying, yo... Like, just put up stats of what he's done or something. Just prove him. If he's been clutch for you, just show that to them, you know?
He got a picture of the 2011 NBA Finals or whatever, you know what
right,
I mean?
He's got an MVP, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I definitely think Mark Cuban's being overly sensitive. I do think this is just getting to the point where it's... Look, it's the NBA, so it's not going to be, you know, any national threat. But I do think when the way that the president that... millionaires have gone after various media outlets because they don't appreciate the way they're being covered. If all journalism entities lose credibility, then where are we as a nation, right? I mean, that really...
Or their freedom to operate.
Right, that's our checks and balances system.
Right.
So it gets... I mean, I don't think this one incident is going to change the landscape of journalism forever.
It's one thing if you're actually reporting something that you know is false, like Dan Rather putting out that report about Bush going AWOL.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Which is something he could be sued for libel.
Bush did go AWOL.
I mean, that's why Dan Rather
But he happened to post the report that he got. Like, the truth of the matter was Bush had gone AWOL, but what Dan Rather had reported wound up being a falsified report.
Yes.
Right? So, like, I don't, you know, the news definitely needs to be held responsible if they mess up. But at the same time, you can't just be censored to the point where you can't say someone's clutch or not clutch. This is America, and you get to report whatever you have. That's why you have editorials, and you can say whatever it is that you want, as long as it's just opinion. Like, Dirk Nowitzki being clutch or not clutch, that's not truth or fiction.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just an opinion. So, like, there's an environment these days, I feel, that there's, like, such, like, a creeping slippery slope towards censorship, and I don't like it.
But then again, it's Mark Cuban, so, I mean, you could just look at it as ego, you know?
He's totally got ego, but there's an environment going on.
Would he do the same for Yogi Ferrell, you know, the new D-League point guard that they just signed? You know, he would.
Probably
it's
not.
Dirk. Yeah. You know, he's going. It's his franchise. You know, I mean, it's his Kobe, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's that's what the Mavericks have been for the last couple decades. So.
No doubt. I mean, I'm one of the biggest Dirk fans out there, even though I don't even like the Mavericks. I love Dirk. I love his game. I love how he's handled himself on and off the court for his entire career, dude. The guy's a stud.
Yeah.
And
he, you know what? Of all people, Dirk is one of them who gets it. He makes fun of himself all the time. Yeah. He talks about how he wears dad jeans. He said he's a chronic dad jeans wearer. You know what I mean?
If you see him in, like, he had a celebrity soccer game in Germany, and he had just, like, big spoof of himself in a free kick, and, like, it was completely ridiculous. But he was out there just joking at himself. He doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
So you don't think he played a role in this at all? Dirk.
I don't think so.
You think Mark Cuban went out on his own?
I think Dirk.
Mark Cuban said he went out on his own.
So Dirk
on the podcast that I was listening to, the True Hoop podcast, they asked him about specifically this, and they said, what did Dirk say about it? And he's like, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. So, again, I don't think this would even really register with someone like
it's like one of those parents, you know, you're just like really upset.
I kind of like, when you're saying that, right.
How dare you say that about my kid?
Yeah.
You know?
He's the
mom.
Quiet.
Yeah. I love you. I know.
Anything else on this situation? Because we have to get to the roly poly goalie before we get out of here.
We do.
Nope. All right.
Yeah.
Roly poly goalie, your turn.
Yes, I talked about it last week. We talked about Arsenal versus Sutton United, which is pretty much a major league team going up against a semi-pro baseball team. It was happening last week. Sutton United actually put up a decent fight against Arsenal, so it was a great matchup. But the big news was, Sutton United has a backup goalkeeper. His name is Wayne Shaw, also known as the Roly Poly Goalie. And the reason why is his name, actually, he looks like his name. He's large, round, and he plays as a keeper for them. The reason why he's in the news is because during the match, he was shown eating a meat pie. And it was hilarious. The cameras are glued to him because, let's face it, there's this chubby guy who's a player who's sitting in this box eating a pie. Granted, there's like 8 minutes left in the game. They're not going to win. He's not going into the game. There's no chance. So why not? Indulge the little pie. The scandal came in, however, is apparently there was a gambling situation where there was a bet that he would be shown eating a meat pie. And he had seen that before the game, and he said, I might as well do it because I know a couple of my friends put some bet on that for me to do that. So they got some money. That scandal led to him having to actually retire from football, playing soccer for Sutton United. So there's no longer a roly-poly goalie anymore.
Wow, that's crazy.
He let his friends
I didn't know that was the keeper. That looked like John Daly on the side. You know what I mean?
He was the keeper, man, yes.
That guy was huge.
I've always thought, like, some of these prop bets that you get for the Super Bowl,
where,
like, how long the national anthem will be, or if Lady Gaga, how many different hairstyles
I got. That's what, like, I got $100 on being blonde hair for Lady Gaga.
But that's what I'm saying. That's something that can be predetermined.
Exactly.
It's not a coin toss.
I think that he was totally within his right. Like, I mean, granted, he kind of did frame himself by saying that. He could have just totally just left it in the bag. But
he rose it and just deny.
To manipulation.
Yeah.
The bet itself.
For sure.
So if you're going to have that bet, you can't blame him for taking advantage of that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Shepherd's pie is delicious, by the way.
It is, no doubt. Totally.
It is good.
Oh, man.
Pie with meat in it. I'm
it's like
down.
A crusty little thing. Oh, there's.
Yeah. Sounds delicious.
Potatoes and everything, maybe some corn. Mmm, delicious.
Dinner time.
So, yes, that was some roly poly goalie action for everyone because it was spectacular.
Nice.
Let's do this. We only have a couple more minutes. How many NASCAR drivers can we name?
Kurt Busch.
There's one.
Jimmy Johnson.
There's two.
Brad Keselowski.
Oh, there's three.
Your turn. We gotta go in order.
Jeff Gordon.
No longer active.
We're doing active.
We
gotta do past,
okay,
present,
so we're doing
future.
Everything. Okay.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Oh, Dale Earnhardt the first.
Kyle Larson.
Tom Petty.
Ooh, nice.
Tony Stewart.
Tom Petty Senior. Or is there a junior?
Is there a junior?
It's
I don't
Richard,
know.
Richard Petty.
Oh, Richard Petty.
Yeah. Tom Petty the singer. I'm free falling right now, guys.
It's like, man, Tom Petty is a man. Many, many talents.
Sponsored by the Heartbreakers.
So that was what, seven?
I think we had seven, yeah.
All right.
What did we do Dale Earnhardt?
Yeah, we did Mar. I can't, I mean.
Senior and junior.
Senior and junior.
Kurt, I think we're Kyle Busch.
Okay. Kyle and Kurt Busch.
Clint Bowyer.
Clint Bowyer, right? 11.
Rusty Wallace.
That's
a shout out to my Uncle Kenny right there.
Wow, how can I? Who was the guy you bet on?
Well, the guy I bet on was Ryan Blaney, and the guy who made the dark horse pick on ESPN was Ricky Craven.
There we go.
14.
Michael Waltrip.
Michael Waltrip. There we go.
Dale Waltrip.
Surprising ourselves here.
Give me some. There we go.
I got one. So
what'd you get?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay, nice.
That you did.
Well, technically, I got Jeff Gordon too because we're doing it all the time. You
did them all. So we're like 16 right now. Wow.
Man, there's got to be
a lot. All right. That was much better than I thought we were going to do.
Stimulating radio right now, guys.
Best segment of ever.
I don't know how much... we don't have much more time. We have actually less than a minute. So just wanted to say RIP to Bill Paxton. He gave us this classic line.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Which is just... brilliant work. One of the best movies of all time, Aliens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was tough.
I was not right for a couple weeks after I saw that. My mom let me stay up and watch it at like 4 a.m. on Cinemax.
When I was a kid, I would rent that movie from Hollywood Video like every weekend.
That was a great movie.
It's phenomenal. Oh man, holds the test of time.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I'm gonna go home and watch it right now.
You've never seen Aliens before?
Oh, yeah. Dude,
have you seen Alien? None of the Alien franchise. No, okay.
You don't necessarily need to have seen the first one.
I apologize.
They're actually like really different movies. All three of them
are different. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? This one's like a military style.
Yeah, the first one is like a kind of like a